Welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. Now let's begin.
Fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and joining me is my co-host in crime, Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
Chris, it is going well. Are you aware of the, at the time of the recording here, the weekend that you're kicking off for me?
What's happening this weekend? I don't know. I can't think of anything.
All right, so we're recording this on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I am getting up early tomorrow, heading in the car and meeting up with two of my friends, and then we're headed from New York to Pennsylvania for RetroCon.
Nice.
And I'm going to spend all day Saturday and Sunday there. A lot of people, longtime listeners, and Chris, of course, will remember, a lot of people that I initially got to know through the defunct League of Extraordinary Bloggers are going to be there, and I'll meet for the first time.
Nice.
A lot of people that I know now through the Retro Network. So we're doing that Saturday and Sunday, and then we were making our plans. We were figuring out our travel for Friday, and we realized that WWE Friday Night SmackDown is live about 20 minutes away. So we added that to the trip, too.
Nice. Awesome. That sounds like it's a good time.
It's going to be a bit crazy. I did, that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I did take Monday off of work.
Yeah.
Just recover.
Yeah, that's always, I find that best. Like, you know, when you do a convention road trip, it's always good to take at least, you know, the first day off once you get back.
I honestly, during work today, I wish I had taken today off.
Yeah.
I was mentally not there. I'm in travel mode already.
Probably the longest day ever type of thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like there's a lot I got to get done at work. There's a lot I got to get done at home, but I want to get going.
Yeah.
It's not a huge con, but this will be the biggest one I've ever been to.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I'm very excited for you. I wish I had a similar scenario, but... next weekend was supposed to be the Edmonton Comic and Entertainment Expo, but that is now canceled because where I live in Alberta, we're going through the fourth wave of the pandemic, and it's not good. We're, you know, facing new restrictions again, and... You know, we got a mask up again, and, you know, like, now the big push is getting vaccinated, and, you know, now we have vaccination cards, and, you know, even though they said they would never do that, but they're doing it. So, unfortunately, the Edmonton Expo, like, they just didn't have enough time to make adjustments, I think, you know, for these new restrictions, so they just canceled it. Which really sucks, because I had the choice between going to Calgary, which was like 2 weeks ago, I think, and this one, but I figured I'd go to the Edmonton one, because my, you know, I could take my daughter to it, and you know, my buddy was bringing his daughter, and we were going to, you know, meet up and you know, have lunch and that sort of thing, and I was going to meet up with Ragnar, our... fellow co-host, because he was going to be selling at the Edmonton Expo, but now it's canceled. So I was banking on Edmonton being the better of the two for me personally, and now unfortunately the Calgary one did happen, but the Edmonton one is now canceled. So, and real quick,
no reschedule date.
No,
I'm guessing.
Just basically they're shooting for next year. Same time. But really quick, on a side note, I just want to say, if you hear growling or grunting or the sound of potentially a cat and dog fighting, it's because I'm recording in my living room tonight. So, you know, I have my Dash on now. She's playing with one of her dog toys. So, yeah, she is present. So I just want to throw that out there. But getting back to the Edmonton Expo, yeah, no, they are just shooting for next year, same time. So, you know, basically, like, if you bought a ticket or whatever, it's just transferred to next year. So, or you could get a refund if you want. But sorry, Kevin, you were saying?
No, I was just saying that that's something at least.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully the Calgary Expo goes forward next year. You know, normally they have theirs at the end of April, but because of COVID-19 and all that, like last year they didn't have one at all. And again, like, I had my room booked, I had everything planned out, and unfortunately it didn't happen. And then, you know, Edmonton got canceled last year too, and, you know, Volcon got canceled last year, and this year that's another convention that I go to. Yeah, it's not a good time. Like, unfortunately, like, you know, like with COVID-19, you know, Alberta, yeah, like, our government opened things too soon, I think, this summer, and now we're catching this fourth wave, unfortunately. Yeah. So, but to be honest with you, like, I was kind of on the fence about going for a couple of reasons. Like, one, you know, like, I knew this fourth wave was, like, before they announced the restrictions, you know, I knew this fourth wave wasn't going to be good. So I was kind of, like, leery about going into a, you know, a crowded facility. And then also, at, you know, of course, this always happens. This is the way it works. I have to get a bunch of work done to my van. So it's like, you know, that's going to be, you know, a little tab I'm going to have to pay off. And when I say little, it's going to be hefty. So, you know, it was kind of a blessing, I guess, in a way, because I wasn't going to have much to spend anyway. But, you know, like, I was really looking forward to seeing Ragnar. I think we were gonna do another dinner with the Trek 1701 guys, but you know, now that's not happening. And yeah, it's too bad, you know. Like, it's, you know, the last big convention I went to was over 2 years ago now. Like, it's crazy. Like, the Calgary Expo in 2019. That was the last big convention. Or no. I guess I did go to Edmonton in 2019. I'm lying. I did go to Edmonton in 2019. But Calgary kind of stands out for me because that's always a road trip for me. You know, me and my friends, like, we go down there. We rent a room and you know, get up to some shenanigans. So it's always a good time. Whereas the Edmonton one, it's usually just a day trip because it's only like an hour from where I live. And I usually just go with my daughter. So, but this year was going to be a little bit different. I was going to meet up with the guys. I bought a weekend pass and I was still going to do the commute. Like, I wasn't going to rent a room or anything, but you know, I figured one day we'd, you know, I'd do the, you know, father daughter, you know, going, hitting the convention floor, meeting up with my friend and his daughter, go for lunch. And then the next day, meet up with the boys, you know, go, I don't know, for Chinese food or something, but unfortunately, you know, it got canceled. So, but yeah, well, I'm very envious of you, Kevin. You know, it's you know, like what you were describing sounds awesome.
You bring up the Chinese food. That's one of the things I got to figure out here. I bought small travel size things for, you know, the usual toiletries, some, you know, shampoo and and deodorant and stuff like that. But I picked up a little thing of Pepto-Bismol as well. I thought, I'm old enough now to be aware of frequent stomach issues, and I don't want this trip ruined with, you know, bathroom trips.
Yeah, I hear you. And depending on the convention hall, like how clean they are, you know, you might, you know, want to avoid using a toilet if possible. Because I'm that guy. Like if I gotta go, number two, I'm going back to my room. You know, like I'm not hitting the convention bathroom. It's too dicey. But anyway, that's too much information. So let's move on. So for this episode, I'm just calling it Blank Day. For this topic, I came upon this because recently they had Star Trek Day, which is something I want to say they started like in 2018, 2017, something like that. Basically, I think actually 2016, for the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. Star Trek Day, I believe, is September 6th of the year. And that is basically to commemorate the first episode of Star Trek to hit the air. Even though I don't think that's the right date, because I think it premiered in Canada first on a different day. But so that's Star Trek Day. So that got me thinking, you know, about all these different days that occur during the year. And I thought we could just talk about a few of them. So we'll kick it off with Star Trek Day. Like I said, this began, I want to say, the 50th anniversary, you know, and now we got, you know, new Star Trek content that is going on right now. And, you know, with this Star Trek Day, like, they gave us a trailer, I believe, for Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard, a second trailer for Star Trek Picard. And that second trailer for Star... Well, I never watched the Discovery trailer because I don't watch Discovery anymore. The Picard trailer, yeah, it just looks more of the same crap. I was really hoping they would do a course correction. But it doesn't look like it. It looks like we got all the same people that I didn't care about in the first season. Seven of Nine's there again for some reason. It involves Q sending the, you know, Picard's ragtag group of friends back in time to today, to 2021 for some reason. So you got that whole fish out of water thing, you know, modern time. And I'm thinking to myself, didn't they do this on Voyager? Like, I remember this being like a two-part episode on Voyager. Not with Q, but with, you know, the Voyager being back in the 1990s. It just doesn't look good. Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I don't think there was a new trailer, but they, had, pictures and like some character descriptions and stuff. So, the first thing I noticed with Star Trek Strange New Worlds is they've changed the uniforms again for the Enterprise. And to me, I think they took a step back. Like the Enterprise uniforms on Discovery, I think were actually very good. Like when they introduced, you know, Captain Pike and Number One and the Enterprise in Season 2, I remember thinking, looking at their uniforms, like, why does the Discovery get crappy uniforms? Like, you know, like... Why don't they have the awesome, you know, uniforms that they have on the Enterprise? And then when Captain Pike takes command of Discovery, he wears a Discovery uniform. And I just remember thinking, like, why are, you know, like, I don't understand what they're doing here. But now they've seemed to redesign them. And like I said, now they look a little, like, crappier than they did, you know, on Star Trek Discovery when they were on the Enterprise. So, I don't know what that's all about. But one thing I didn't, like, I mean, they were, you know, they got, which I think is kind of cool. They got Rebecca Romijn as Number One, but then they've also got Nurse Chapel. She's going to be on the Enterprise, which, you know, Star Trek historians will know was, both those characters were played by Majel Barrett. So, you know, I think it's kind of cool. Like, they got a different actress playing Nurse Chapel, but, I think it's kind of cool that you got Number One and Nurse Chapel serving together. I think that's a nice little touch. you know, the doctor, like last year, I think it was last year, when they announced Strange New Worlds and stuff, there was this internet push to get Jeffrey Combs cast as Dr. Boyce, who was the doctor on the original pilot of Star Trek with Captain Pike, which I think would have been brilliant casting. I love Jeffrey Combs. He played Wayun on Deep Space Nine. He played Shran on Enterprise. He's just a great actor all around. But unfortunately, they don't have Dr. Boyce in this. They have the other, another doctor. He was an African-American doctor that was featured during the original series. I can't remember his name. But that's the doctor that we saw once or twice during the original series. He also worked in sickbay with Dr. McCoy. Basically, he was the doctor that they called upon when McCoy wasn't around. He was the doctor that would have to treat McCoy when McCoy was the one that was, you know,
okay,
going through okay stuff.
Once you put it that way, I got an image in my head now.
Yeah, I want to say he was on a couple episodes during the original series. I don't exactly know. But it's that doctor that's going to be the chief medical officer, which I guess makes sense because Strange New Worlds takes place after the events of The Cage, which was the original pilot for Star Trek. Dr. Boyce was in his 60s then, so maybe, you know, in between those years he'd retired. So I'm cool with that. But then they got this other character who, I can't remember her name, but her last name is Noonien Singh, which is the last name of Khan from the original series. So Ricardo Montalban or Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, whoever you want to go with. Khan Noonien Singh, you know, he was a genetically engineered supervillain. And apparently this character, I can't remember her name, whatever her name is, Noonien Singh, is a descendant of Khan. So in one way I find it interesting, you know, like you know, because you know, like the like, because in the original series they talk about the eugenics wars and you know, Khan and his would-be conquerors, you know, they fled Earth because they would have been prosecuted. So basically their plan was to go on a sleeper ship, you know, and then come back at a later date and conquer Earth. But then their ship got off course, and the rest is history. But, you know, I doubt all of the super soldiers were, you know, rounded up during that time. So I always wondered, like, what happened to them? You know, like, would they not be allowed to have children? Would they be, you know, segregated? What happened? Obviously, you know, they're calling on that. So in that way, I find it very interesting that they're going that way. But on the my initial response was, oh man, like, can, you know, can't you make a new character? Like, why do we got to go back and retread stuff that's been done? So it's a 50-50 for me. Like, I kind of am interested to see what they do, because I am going to give Strange New Worlds a chance. You know, fingers crossed. I'm hoping this is the one that's better. and ultimately, like, it comes down to, you know, like, I you know, I kind of crap on Discovery and stuff, but really, my problem with Discovery and with Picard and with, you know, all the new stuff that's coming out, it's just bad writing. You know, ultimately, that's what it is. It's bad writing. You know, Sonequa Martin-Green, she's, you know, a fine actress. Anson Mount, I love him. He's a great actor. Doug Jones, you know, Saru is great. I like Cadet Tilly. But the bad writing is, you know, so it's not the acting, it's not the production. Like, these shows look great. You know, even though I wish they would go back to using models for certain shots, like, you know, when you see a ship flying through space, it, you know, like, it shouldn't look like the Millennium Falcon traveling through hyperspace. And that's basically what warp speed looks like now. But I think the problem is, you know, aside from bad writing, is you got people steering this ship that don't really, you know, probably weren't Star Trek fans. And if anything, like J.J. Abrams, like he admitted when he was doing the Kelvin movies, he was a Star Wars fan. He wasn't a Star Trek fan. So that's why his movies, you know, to me, feel more like a Star Wars movie than they do a Star Trek movie. But anyway, that's all I got for Star Trek Day. Kevin, did you have any thoughts on Star Trek Day? Did you see anything that I mentioned?
I had not, actually. And honestly, I think, I saw like a brief mention of it online, but I think because of your glowing recommendations of Discovery over the past few years, it just kind of was blocked from my mind and didn't really register at all that anything was happening.
Yeah,
and honestly, like that's a deeper dive than I'm doing right now, I'll say.
Yeah, like the thing, like, and I've mentioned this before, like, you know, but I am not, you know, but the be all and end all Star Trek authority, you know, and I'm a Star Trek fan that I've had problems with Star Trek before, you know, like I've never watched the entire Star Trek Voyager series. You know, I remember dropping off like in the 90s, like I was like, you know, but I mean, back then we had Deep Space Nine, we had, you know, it running concurrently. So that was my Star Trek. And Voyager, it never, you know, I dropped off, you know, and I tried coming back a couple times, but honestly, I don't think, aside from the final episode, I don't think I've watched one episode from season 6 and 7. So when, you know, when they did that scene on Star Trek Picard where they rip out Icheb's eye, my problem wasn't the fact that they killed off this character, because I had no connection to this character at all because I didn't watch Voyager when he was on it. My problem was I felt like I was watching a Saw movie, you know, like, like this was a torture scene. Like this was something, you know, that Jigsaw would do in those movies, not, you know, someone in the Star Trek universe. Like, you know, Star Trek should be, in my mind, should be a family show. It really, you know, it should be a show that you can watch with your kids, and the new Star Trek just isn't. You know, like, there was a scene on Star Trek Discovery where they just kept dropping the F-bomb in engineering, like, and to me, it's like, why are they talking like they're from, you know, the 21st century? They're supposed to be more enlightened than us. That was the whole point, you know? I got enough dystopian futures. I don't need Star Trek to be a dystopian future, too. Star Trek was always about being a positive vision of the future. So that's another problem I have with it.
Well, like, Star Wars, a few years back, did Death Troopers. And yeah. it was a zombie story using stormtroopers and all, but it still seemed like it made sense for the universe.
Yeah.
It's off to the side, it's its own story, doesn't really affect any of, you know, your known familiar characters. It affects some stormtroopers, but that's generic, so it doesn't really matter. And it was a nice, fun horror movie, but that was it.
Yeah.
Or horror novel, rather, and it was off to the side. But the stuff, and you're right with Star Trek, the funny thing is my boss was talking to me today. She's 36, 37, somewhere around there, and made a Star Trek reference. I said, I didn't know you watched Star Trek, and she was throwing a couple things out there. I'm like, you don't do geeky stuff. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And she said that was one of the few shows that her dad watched. So she has all these memories of sitting down with her father to watch them. So it's not so much about Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's about watching Jean-Luc with her dad.
Yeah.
And always remembering that. And then you got, you know, the episodes and the shows and stuff that you're mentioning here. You can't have that same experience.
No, like, I could not watch, like, I would not recommend new Star Trek for anyone under the age of 13. Like, honestly.
I agree.
Yeah, my that sound is my dog running around the house like a crazy dog. I don't know what she got. Must have got into the cat's catnip or something. But yeah, you know, like I just love like what like I one of my best memories as a kid was, you know, you'd get that odd Star Trek episode because my parents are not Star Trek fans. You know, they know Star Trek, and my mom, she did not mind me watching Star Trek. She said, I like that you, you know, it's a good positive show. I remember her telling me that when I was a kid. But there were the odd times when they're, you know, when they did the episode Fistful of Datas on TNG. I remember watching that with my dad, and my dad just having a kick out of it, you know. You know, it was great. It was a funny episode. You know, father and son episode. You know, Brent Spiner was hilarious in that. You know, it was all around, a good family episode. And most Star Trek shows are like that, you know. And not to say that, you know, there wasn't, you know, the occasional swear word. You know, Star Trek IV, you know, Captain Kirk says double dumbass. Star Trek Generations, I remember when Data says, oh, shit. You know, when they're going to crash. Like, that was hilarious. Like,
popped the crowd, yeah.
Yeah, the whole theater just boomed with laughter. Like, it was funny. But, you know, using dropping F-bombs just for, you know, the sake of it. And, like, to me, that's just crude humor. And just bad writing all around.
No, there's a place for it, but Star Trek's not it. I'm not watching Star Trek to hear Deadpool, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like this animated series, Star Trek Lower Decks, like, I haven't watched it, but, you know, it's often described as, you know, Rick and Morty, you know, meet Star Trek, which is okay. You know, like, it's an animated series. Like, I don't have to watch it, and I don't. Because I love Rick and Morty, but I don't want to see Rick and Morty and my Star Trek combined, you know? Mm-hmm. I like that the fact that they exist separately. You know, just like I don't need, you know, Batman showing up in a Star Trek, you know. I love Batman, but I don't need him in my Star Trek. But, you know, when you're doing live action and, you know, you're putting the time in to, you know, create a series that's going to be up there with, you know, that should be up there with Next Generation, with the original series, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, even Enterprise, you know, it should be of the same quality. and it's just not. And I think a big thing of it was, the original series, you know, took place in the 60s. It was created by Gene Roddenberry. And he had a number of people that helped him. Among them were DC Fontana, Robert Justman, and David Gerald. Now, those people were also there to help him launch Star Trek Next Generation. You know, David Gerald helped with the series Bible. DC Fontana helped write the pilot episode. Robert Justman was a producer. But then they brought on people like Rick Berman and, whoever else at the time. But then Rick Berman stuck with the franchise for the next 18 years. And Gene Roddenberry laid out, you know, like, we can't do this, we can't do that, you know, and of course there was budget constraints back then. You know, you couldn't have these big CGI battles because CGI was just too, back then it was too costly and too time consuming. So, you know, instead of seeing a firefight, you would, you know, basically see the Enterprise shake, you would hear it, you'd see the occasional, you know, phaser blast, but you would not see a big all-out battle. So Picard, in particular, you know, a lot of his, you know, conflicts were resolved through diplomacy, through discussion, through good writing. Whereas now the Star Trek writers don't have to do that. They can just, you know, when they do a script, they can, you know, if they're getting tired, you know, if they can't figure out a way to solve a problem, just have a big firefight, and then people, you know, won't notice. You know, at least they hope. Guys like me notice. Like, I got a laundry list of complaints for Star Trek Picard, you know, where the writers really dropped the ball. But there's a lot of people that just don't care, you know, like they want that popcorn movie. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not really what Star Trek was. So unfortunately, when Enterprise ended and Rick Berman, you know, was shown the door, that's kind of when, you know, the Roddenberry era of Star Trek ended. And not to say that you can't have, you know, someone else do a good job, you know. Fingers crossed, Star Trek Strange New Worlds is going to be great. But it might not be. But that's okay, too. Like, I don't have to... I've come to accept I don't have to like everything in Star Trek, which I already didn't. Like I said, like Voyager, I've only seen probably one-third of Voyager. I haven't watched the whole series. You know, and I kind of compare it to comic books, too. Like, you know, I love the Peter David run of The Incredible Hulk, his 12-year run. When John Byrne, you know, relaunched the Hulk in 99, you know, with Ron Garney, I checked out. I think after like two or three issues, I'm like, this is, as much as I love this character, I can't keep on going. And the same now is with Star Trek. Or Doctor Who, you know, like they got that new showrunner. Well, I shouldn't say new. This is his third season coming up. And I'm not digging it. I dropped off. And it has nothing to do with a female doctor. I love Jodie Whittaker. I think she's a fantastic actress. I liked her before Doctor Who. Like, she was in a series called... what's that series called? It was with David Tennant, where he plays like a detective. And she was the mom of the kid that got killed in it. It's a British series. And she was great. Like, I remember when I heard she got cast, I was super excited. But, you know, when the writing ain't there and the producing ain't there, you know, you can't name recognition. You can't rely on fully. But anyway, that's me rambling on again. So let's move on to another day. So recently, I think it was last Saturday, was Batman Day. So Kevin, how did you celebrate Batman Day?
Not with the Waynes.
No.
So it was, I didn't think my local shop was doing anything. There's a shop that's about an hour away. I very much enjoy the shop. I always find a ton of stuff, and spend too much, but he was messaging, he's very good at messaging his clientele and, very good for social media, but, he got all of the, there were three free Batman books for the day. A Batman Fortnite book, a Batman versus the World, or Batman and the World, whatever, something.
Okay.
And then Knight's End, Knight's Quest, something like that. It looks like might be a kid tie-in.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure, though. So there were three of them. He put together, those three were on a table. Every new Batman comic was displayed. Every new toy, any, like, quote, real books, you know, novels or whatever that were Batman related were right up front. And what got me, and I almost did it because it's about an hour drive to the store, but I saw it. He put together random Batman grab bags, pretty much for like a lottery. And there were four of them. It was up to $100 worth of Batman stuff inside. If you're, you know, number, name, whatever gets called for it. And he had that going on throughout the Batman day. One of them was a CGC 9.8 of Joker's new partner, Punchline's first appearance. And I thought, that's going to, if that's not over 100 now, it's going to be soon. And I thought, I'm willing to drive down and chip in a dollar or, you know, a couple bucks in this raffle thing. Just to have a chance at that.
Yep.
But I didn't end up doing it. I thought, I'm going to spend nearly 100 in gas if I do that.
Yeah.
I could just stay home and buy it and actually save the money.
Yeah.
But then I went to my local shop Wednesday, and it turned out they had done a Batman thing for it.
Oh.
Which I was unaware of. I kind of wish I had gone. But the whole front of their store was set up with nothing but Batman stuff still. And expanded their kids line a little bit, did a few new decorations. They have a separate space on the wall for variant covers. So that was all changed up and full and everything. I thought, wow, they really got like people into it. Here's the Batman ones. Here's everything up front. If you just want Batman, if you want to get a new rare comic, it's right here. If you want to get some more kids ones, right here. Like, they really must have taken the night before or a couple nights to rearrange a good portion of the store to just make it more accommodating for new fans coming in.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I love about my store. Everyone local, you know, everyone regular, they recognize right away. Say hi, small chat, catch up on the previous week. Anyone new that comes in, they direct them immediately. What are you looking for? Here's where it is. Here's where similar stuff is. I will leave you alone, but I'm right here if you need anything. Anyone with a kid, they will just do a tour of the store pretty much. Like, what is your kid into? Here's where it is. This is all good for kids. This is all safe. We got a couple other things over here. Depending on the age, you might not want to be over here, though.
Yeah.
Plus, like most shops, they always have stuff that they're looking through, you know, trade-ins or collections they bought out or whatever. They'll even go through that. They'll be like, while you're looking, give me a couple minutes. I'm going through a new Batman box in the back, you know, or whatever person's looking for. Maybe I'll find some more for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish I had done it, because now word's coming out that for the most part, the Free Comic Book Day 2 thing that happens during Halloween is not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
Some of the comics that already shipped, they said just go ahead and hand them out, because it's already shipped. It's already gone. You know, like why sit on them? But I always thought it's kind of a jump from, you know, the blank day idea here. But I thought the Halloween one was brilliant, because I know people, I'm too old for it now, but I know people that do hand out comics along with the candy on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just, you know, go through their own collection, grab stuff that, you know, is it really worth anything, but still popular characters, or they have doubles of or whatever, and just hand those out with, you know, the Snickers on Halloween.
Yep.
And kids love it and get such a kick out of it and everything, too. So the Halloween one, I think, is brilliant. I don't know if it's a COVID. I didn't read the articles. I don't know if it's a COVID issue, a publishing, a printing, orders maybe low. I'm not sure what it is that it got canceled. But I always thought, at least for your big companies, like, you're big enough that some kid might come walking through wearing a costume based on one of your characters. If you're that big, then yeah, have some Halloween comics out. I think it totally makes sense. It's a brilliant move. And, yeah. And I don't know about you guys there. I gotta imagine it goes on in, you know, most capitalist countries at this point. But one of the things I've enjoyed that didn't really happen when I was a kid, but happens more now, is when they do trick or treat at like a mall or even a strip mall or like some collection of a lot of stores that's inside, protected. The kids can just walk around, get a bunch of candy,
yep,
kind of parade around, but it's still, you know, it's out of the elements. There's a safety to it and all. How many comic stores do we see in malls too? You know, like, that would just been a perfect idea, I would have thought.
Yeah.
I'm talking about one day that I missed and one day that's not happening, and I wish was.
Yeah.
Those are two of my blank day ones.
Excellent. Yeah, that Batman Day story, like, that's awesome. I have no idea what my comic book shop did. I was working. And I don't know if I would have been there anyway. But yeah, speaking of, you know, the other blank day I got here is Free Comic Book Day. You know, I love Free Comic. I used to love Free Comic Book Day. I haven't really been, you know, partaken the last few years. I kind of got soured to it a few years ago. I can't remember. Was it 5 years ago now? And I know I've shared the story, but I'll share it again. My local comic book store. So I say it's local, but it's actually an hour's drive away. But it, you know, it was my first comic book store, aside from the one the little one that was in town here, which just sold old comic books, but it was still great. But this was one in the mall, and it they sold new comic books. But it was also kind of one of them dingy comic book stores, you know, with all the lawn boxes and
yeah,
you know, it was kind of like that. And then someone bought it. Someone else bought it. Because I remember initially it was an old guy that ran it, and then someone bought it, and then they, you know, they revamped it, and they got rid of most of the lawn boxes. I mean, there's still a few that were there, but for the most part, it was all new. It was, you know, and they brought in a lot of toys and collectibles and that sort of thing, and it was just, you know, jaw-dropping. I just loved it. And then, I want to say... probably a year or two after that, I'd go and shop occasionally. You know, I was a teenager at the time, so I didn't get there. I'd probably only get there like maybe three or four times a year. So one time and this is after, you know, I got my after school job and, you know, I have a little bit of money. I went there and I think I spent like, I want to say it was like $96, which was a lot of money for me. Back then, you know, working, I think it was like $5 an hour job or something, but you know, there's all this, you know, I think I bought my first graphic novel there and this before Amazon, before Comixology, when you can get these things on the cheap back then, you were still paying like $30 for some of these. So, you know, I spent a lot, and the guy that owned it then, he was a Jim Lee lookalike. He looked like Jim Lee. Like he had the, you know, the ball cap and like the way Jim Lee looked in the '90s. And I know other people saw it too. Cause I was there when people would ask him like, you know, you look like Jim Lee. And I guess he, you know, realized how much I was spending and he probably knew I was a high school student and he's like, you know, I'm going to give you a membership. And I have no idea how much a membership would have cost back then. But he gave it to me for free. And from then on, I was saving 10% every time I went in there
to buy
books. So I got like a, you know, wallet sized, membership card, you know, I carried it in my wallet and it was great. And then fast forward, you know, a few years, when I dropped out of comics, I came back to comics. The store had switched spots in the mall, but it was still the same store, but it was with a different owner. He wasn't bad. He was all right. But then, I want to say 2015-ish, this other guy bought it, and he literally ran it into the ground. Like, he was such a putz. I did not like this guy. I don't think he was actually a comic book fan. I think he just thought he would make a lot of money. And he was actually overcharging comic books. And what I mean is, you know, you get your cover price. So let's say for us in Canada, it's $3.99. He would charge $4.20.
Ew, why? Just for the heck of it?
Just to make some extra money, I guess. And that wasn't the tax, like, because in Canada we have the goods and services tax, GST, which is, you know, 5%. This was over and above that, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he was taking the tax into account. He wasn't, he was just overcharging, which doesn't, you know, like, I mean, that's what, 21 cents. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, it adds up, you know.
It adds up real fast, yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And, you know, when the previous guy would have comic book day, he would have the comic book day tables and people would show up dressed in their cosplay. It was always fun because, like, I always hit free comic book day because that was, you know, the first Saturday of May. And there was also like when Marvel would, you know, have, you know, their new movies premiere, like Avengers and then Iron Man 3, Avengers 2, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think. But anyway, it's always the first weekend in May when the Marvel movies would come out. So, of course, I'd go in to watch the movie, and then I'd hit Free Comic Book Day at the same time. It was, you know, win-win. But after this guy took over, I remember, like, because the one, you know, I knew there was a Strawberry Shortcake Free Comic Book, and my daughter was in the Strawberry Shortcake. And I wanted to, you know, and she wasn't with me, so I picked it up to take home. And I mean, at the same time, I'm not just there getting free comic books. I'm also spending money. Like, I'm, you know, I had a pull box there. I had, you know, stuff I picked off the shelf. So, I mean, I'm spending, you know, probably 80, 90 bucks at that time. You know, so I wasn't greedy. I'm not greedy with the free comic books. Like, I might grab one or two for myself. And then usually, you know, if one of the kids asks, you know, if I tell them it's free comic book day, you know, would you like anything? And, you know, my daughter said, well, because I told her what they would possibly have, and I knew Strawberry Shortcake was one of them. She's like, yeah, I want that one. So I remember grabbing it, and the guy like lost it on me. He's like, seriously, you're gonna read Strawberry Shortcake? And like, this is the owner. I'm like, I'm not, but this is for my daughter. Oh well, if you're gonna seriously tell me you're gonna read it, I was gonna tell you to put it back. I'm like, what? You know, and like, what if I was gonna read it? Like, you know, like, how do you know I'm not into Strawberry Shortcake? But I mean, besides that, I mean, I'm also spending like 80 or 90 bucks at your store, dude. Like, why would you wanna piss me off? And then I remember the next year, I can't remember what movie it was, a Marvel movie, and I remember I went with my son. Yeah, I brought him with me, and I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, we went there, and there was no free comic books. And it was Free Comic Book Day, and there were people showing up in cosplay and stuff, and he's like, yeah, we're not doing Free Comic Book Day this year. And, like, everyone was disappointed. It's like, what? Really? Because the thing with Free Comic Book Day, like, it's free for the people that get it, but it isn't free for the shops. But they get they get these comic books at a really reduced rate because it's supposed to be a co-venture between the comic book store and the publishers to get people to read comic books. You know, it's an excuse to get people to come to your store. It's a means of you know, possibly, you know, getting them into comic books. Which, you know, if it could be nefarious if it was like, you know, free beer day or free cigarette day. But I mean, comic books, you know, like, you want kids reading. And for me, like, I know for myself, comic books were the first thing I was reading. Like, you know, I could care less about, you know, whatever storybooks I had, unless it was a He-Man storybook. I wanted comics. And, you know, my mom, she loved that, you know, that I was, you know, taking the, you know, getting these books first initially for the art. But then, you know, I'm actually reading the story because I want to figure out, you know, what's actually going on. You know, what are these characters saying? So anyway, that guy, you know, that really soured me when he said he wasn't doing Free Comic Book Day. And I remember, like, my son, I mean, he was a teenager at the time, so it wasn't that big of a deal for him. But I remember other father and son, and they came dressed like, what were they dressed as? I think the dad was dressed as Wolverine or something. And the kid, I can't remember what he was dressed as. And I mean, they literally dressed up, you know, and showed up at the comic book store, you know, for that day, right? And they were so disappointed. And anyway, long story short, this guy's comic book store ended up folding. Like, and it was sad, you know, because, like, that was my comic book store. That's, you know, my first comic book store. And this guy literally ran himself out of business. And this guy was a super putz. Like I said, I don't know what he was thinking. If it, you know, he thought he'd get rich quick or whatever. But anyway, but yeah, with the you know, COVID and everything, I honestly don't know if Free Comic Book Day happened this year.
It did.
It did. Okay. Because I know. Yeah, well, we were still under restrictions here, but I don't actually have a comic book store that I go to regularly anymore, which is unfortunate. Like, it's crazy when you think of how big comic book stores used to be. Like, I know in Edmonton, there's a comic book store called Warp One, and I remember going to that when I was, like, 17. And it really was like a, you know, like a, you know, you hear the angels singing. Like when I walked into there for the first time, it was like, you know, the doors open, the angels are singing. There's, you know, this big light, and I was like, oh my god! Like it was the most amazing comic book store, and probably the biggest one I've ever been in. And I just loved it, and I went there a few times in the late 90s. But then I didn't get back there until 2017, but unfortunately they moved locations and now they downsized a lot. I mean, it was still, I took my daughters there and it was still, you know, a nice comic book store, but it wasn't like it was in the 90s. But I mean, you know, there was a lot of comic book stores in the 90s that just don't exist anymore, unfortunately. But I actually probably I go to Warp 2 Comics, which is actually in northern Edmonton, which is closer to me. It's been a few years since I've been there. Like, I haven't been there since COVID went down. But I would pop in there every once in a while. And then the sister store to my original comic book store is just down the street from Warp 2. And I don't even know if they're in business. They ended up going back to being one of them lawn box stores that employed the most unhelpful staff they could find. You know, like these guys, like they, you know, they would, like, you'd ask them for, you know, for information. It was like they would get annoyed with you. Like, why are you wasting, you know, it's like, don't you want to make a sale? Like, do you not understand how this works?
Yeah.
But Warp 2 was the complete opposite. It, you know, like, they're very helpful. It was a very nice store. One day I hope to get back there. I was really hoping for the Edmonton Expo because there's a comic book series I'm looking for. And, you know, the Edmonton and Calgary Expos, they get a lot of comic book dealers there. So I was really hoping. Like, there was a comic book series in the late 90s, early 2000s, Babylon 5, in Valen's name, which I bought the first issue to, but I think it was like a 5-issue miniseries, and I never got any of the other issues. So I want to find out what happens. So I'm, you know, my plan was to hit, you know, that when I get back to these comic cons, that's what I'm looking for when I go to these places. But anyway, I think, unless you have another day you wanted to throw out there, Kevin, I can't really think of anything.
No, I just want to say for Free Comic Book Day, for the actual one, this year I was, I did a trip up, I saw a friend, I saw my mom the night before, I was driving through, I thought, let me stop over at this mall, because I know there's two comic stores in it, I hadn't been there forever, and they had all of the Free Comic Book ones right up front. They actually had two different ones, or not two different ones, but any that the first one was sold out of or maybe didn't order at all, the second one had, so that nice. Was good. But they had all sorts of deals. Here's the back issues are half off, or, you know, they're now you know, get six or seven for $5 instead of five, like whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, deals on new issues, deals on toys and everything. like five different staff members just wandering the floor talking to people and everything. I thought, that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in a mall, you're in a very public place, you're going to have people walk by and go, oh my gosh, I haven't been in a store like this in forever or at all, or let me take my kid into it. And now you have recognizable staff wearing shirts that have, you know, the store's logo on it, not just, you know, let me start talking to random people with a comic store or a comic book character shirt and hope I get the right one eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew her work there right away. Super helpful. I found a ton of random stuff. I'm like, I didn't need this. I didn't walk in for this, but you got a good deal. Most of the free books I wanted were right here. I'm all set. I stopped at a couple other ones that day just because now I'm having fun. And they all had something. I contacted my local store. I said, I'm going to be out of town when it's free comic book day. And they said, what ones do you want? They'd already made their orders. They already came to the store. They were just hanging back. And I sent them a list of about 20. Said, done. We'll be sitting waiting for you.
Nice.
So that was fun, too. I mean, like, the point is really to get newer people into it. And every year I have to explain it to friends. No, it's not any comic. You can't walk in and get, like, the first appearance of Spider-Man for free. No, it's not any. It's these specific ones. Like, just drives me insane. And I haven't heard stories in a while, but for years you'd hear stories of people just, like, walking in and grabbing armfuls of stuff and just taking off.
Yeah.
Like, so the entire stock is gone, and I would assume they thought it was going to be worth something or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But I just, like, my local store had a bunch of food trucks outside, a couple other things going on inside. And I had the store I grew up with in a different town. He wouldn't do it. He's like, oh, well, it costs me money to get the books. Yeah, it does. And that's why you advertise it. And that's why you get more people in here and you run sales and all. Mm-hmm. And it's a loss leader. Every successful business does this. We're not giving it to you for free or dirt cheap or whatever it might be, because it's actually free or dirt cheap. We're giving it to you to that price to get you to buy more shit that is overpriced. And that's where we're actually going to make our money.
Yep.
And it just, every year I have someone. And to hear a comic book store owner, I'm like, well, maybe that's why you're not. Because, I mean, it was my closest store when I was a kid. But looking back, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what a dirt store. But I think back, I'm like, you got to spend a little money to make money here. Like, no one's going to come in and go, oh, my gosh, do you have a 20-year-old long box that I can find a random issue in?
Yeah.
No, no one's going to walk in and do that. You need to get this stuff moving, have deals and sales. That never happened.
Yeah. One thing I will say about that store owner, a positive, is he was the reason I decided to go digital. So.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. To avoid him. Not that he talked you into it. Well, in a way.
Well, back then, also, I used to do. I used to get my comic books. I used to buy them, like, in bulk. There's a company in Canada called Comic Pull. I actually don't know if they're in business anymore, but they are based out of Quebec. So basically, they're like, I'm trying to think of the American equivalent, but basically, you get a list, you sign up for these comic books, and then they mail them to you. At a discount. So, I mean, I used to, you know, because if you order over $75, you get free shipping. You know, otherwise, I mean, if you only order like $30, you're still going to pay $30 shipping. So it's like, why not just pay the extra $15 and get, you know, $15, you know, whatever, and get the free, you know, get more comic books for free shipping. And then I would, just basically go to the comic book store, for, you know, stuff I didn't order through Comic Pull. and I was trying to help them out, like at the comic book store, because I still had a pull list there of stuff I didn't order from Comic Pull, just because, like, I knew they were struggling. I knew they needed help. So even though I was getting, like, this tremendous discount going through Comic Pull, you know, I still had, like, five different titles that I ordered through the comic book store. But after the way this guy was, I was like, nah, I'm not coming back here. And then I don't know. Like, I got this deal when I got my cell phone where you get like a free Samsung tablet. And then I thought, I got this tablet now. Why don't I check out this Comixology? And I mean, my tablet is basically the same size as a page from a comic book. So I got into Comixology, and then I ended up canceling my comic pull, because I mean there is issues with ordering your comic books, because you got to order 3 months in advance. So if you get a comic book and it ends up sucking, by the time you cancel it, you've already paid for three more issues of it. So I didn't, whereas like Comixology, you get the comics the same day, they're digital, and they got preview pages, so you can look at like three pages and kind of get a feel of the book before you purchase it. Like not all comic books through Comixology, but most of them you can do that. And yeah, I ended up switching digital, which is something I never thought I would do. Like I, for years, I heard about people talking about digital comics and stuff, and I said I would never do it, because I love holding a comic book. I love turning the pages. But the sad reality is I read a lot of comic books, and I fill up long boxes quite fast when you order $75 worth of comic books, plus, $30 or whatever from the comic book store. Like I was spending, over $100 a month on comic books. So I mean, like I got a storage unit. I got a lot of long boxes in there, and they were just taking up too much space. So that's the nice thing about switching to digital. You get to look at your comic books the day they come out. Plus, you save space. And Comixology is great for having sales, like on stuff that I wouldn't necessarily buy, but it's like if you can get a trade paperback, sorry, a graphic novel, whatever you want to call it, for $5, why not? You can go to a coffee bar and spend $5 on a cafe mocha, right? Might as well spend $5 on a 150 page, graphic novel. So that's, the great thing about Comixology. So yeah, that guy got me onto digital comics. So and I'm grateful because, again, like I said, I was never going to get into it. I swore up and down I would never go digital, and now I'm glad I did. I still buy some physical stuff every once in a while, usually at conventions, because these convention dealers, you can get some pretty good deals on stuff that you, because that's the thing about going with Comixology is they don't have everything available, like all the new stuff they do, but older stuff, they might not necessarily have it. So you still got to look for stuff. Like I said, that Babylon 5 series I wanted to get, it's not available on Comixology, but maybe one day it will. But anyway, let's move on to our next segment, which is Brain Candy. So, Kevin, what have you been watching or reading lately?
So I'm trying to get through, get caught up on What If. I only have the most recent one, so thankfully I'm doing all right there. I am starting to wonder, I was treating them all as standalone stories, but the more this progresses, the more I'm like, I think they're building up to something. Like, I'm really thinking the end, we're going to be shocked, and the last stuff's going to come together, and well done if so. My kid has been watching, he's excited for Venom 2, and then that's getting him excited for upcoming movies. So he's been watching all of these like 10 theories about Spider-Man No Way Home, and I'm like, ooh, let me see too. And for most part it's stuff that I already knew, but it does help to be reminded of, hey, this person signed a contract for this movie, and he played a character in one of the other ones, so he's probably coming back. you know, here's this little snippet that someone took from the filming or whatever. Like, it's actually really interesting to see some of this, you know, the rumor and the speculation and all in a clickbait article format.
Yep.
I think I enjoy how he's discovering it more. I can't remember if I brought it up last time or not, but I decided it's finally time for me to make a dent in the Star Wars stuff. So I did both. They've been packaged into movies now of Genndy Tartakovsky's Clone Wars version, the original one. So now I'm up to the Clone Wars movie that actually did get a very short theatrical run.
Yep.
So I'll be up to that one next. And then I forget what series chronologically I have to do after that.
I think the Clone Wars series that followed the movie.
I think so. With a slightly different animation style and all, and kind of no connection really to it. But
no,
you know, you need that first series to just learn how to do it and what people are into and all. Like I think as a beta test run, that was a real good series.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like it on its own too. Oh, speaking of stuff from that guy, he just won an Emmy for a new Cartoon Network series called Primal. And it went through work today, but someone else had claimed it. So I think I got to grab that one, too. Just looks like his animation style, but doing like a Conan pastiche idea. So I'm super curious about that one.
Okay. I've heard of it, but yeah, I've never seen it.
And then I was ready to take it out. I saw it coming through. It was in my hands. And then one of my friends gave me a terrible review of it, so I put it right back. But did you see James Patterson bought some sort of portion of the rights to The Shadow and has released a Shadow novel by James Patterson and, you know, who really ended up writing it?
Okay.
Patterson just threw his name on it. But it's the classic Lamont Cranston version of The Shadow, but he doesn't actually do any Shadow stuff. It's just in the name. There's none of the mystery, there's none of the fog, there's none of the surprises, there's none of the fear, none of that. It's just Patterson bought and paid for the name, pretty much, and that's it. But scrapped all of the actual ideas and everything that came beforehand.
So that's James Patterson that did this?
Yeah.
Huh.
No, yeah, because that's what shocked me. It came through and I thought, well, why is James Patterson writing a book called The Shadow? So I opened the dust jacket to get a look. I'm like, it's The Shadow. How did this happen? So, yeah, I guess he paid some sort of amount for the rights to it, at least for a little bit. But, I mean, really, who else had it? Like, whoever had it was probably just sitting on the rights anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $50 would have done it, getting some money out of it.
Yeah.
But it's just... end up being disappointing, I guess. Every review from people I know who love The Shadow, including the Alec Baldwin movie, are just hating this book.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something I'd want to read anyway.
No. Oh, and then here I got one more brain candy thing for something I've been watching. Then I'll leave it on. Chris, have you ever had to sit through a death match?
Like those, like claymation death matches?
Nope. Style of wrestling with just a lot of violence. It's not just the usual, you know, chairs and tables and ladders. They'll also bring out like cookie cutter sheets, pizza sheets, fluorescent light tubes, smash over each other. Staple gun.
Yikes.
An ex-WWE wrestler, he used to be called Zack Ryder. He's now under his real name of Matt Cardona. Doing a very good job just being a heel, getting under fans' skin and everything. So he randomly shows up at an indie group that is very big on the deathmatch style. And he shows up just to, you know, to be the heel, to be the bad guy, to piss everyone off. It works. People spend a fortune to watch him wrestle their champion, hoping he gets his ass kicked, he wins the title, he pisses off people even more, he makes even more of a fortune. And I've been watching this because I'm like, all right, the matches are nasty. Like, he wore a white shirt to the ring. It was not white when he left.
Yeah.
Like, it's just covered. It's so gross. But the I've been enjoying the heel attitude of it, of I'm going to take this thing you love and just crap all over it. But it's been, it's done in such a funny way, in a dare I say loving way as well. It's like he's taking the piss out of everyone, but it's clear he's a fan as well, and that's why it's working so well for it.
Yep.
I bring this up because the weird addendum today was he posted, "Hey, just pulled a piece of glass out of my arm 2 months after the match. Didn't Ooh. Know it was there. It's now on my site, and someone frickin' bought it."
Nice.
Just as a memento of his night.
Yeah.
This, I bring this up because I have been watching it. I've been enjoying the storyline and the ridiculousness of it. And then he will actually be at that convention this weekend as well.
Oh.
And I'm like, what would I get him to sign? I'm just trying to think of most ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have any pieces of glass sitting around home for him.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's like, what's his name there? Cactus Jack.
Kind of funny you bring that up. And actually, I apologize. I could I'll wait a second because I could loop this around into an ender segment as well here. So I'll pause something else I've seen for a moment and bring it back around.
All right. Well, I got a few things to talk about. For brain candy. The Dark's new I don't know if it's down in the States. I'm assuming the new season of Dark Side of the Ring has dropped. Is it on Vice?
It's on Vice, and that's actually what I was gonna mention the fallout there for Ender segment.
Okay, I haven't watched anything yet, but that's a series I intend to get back to because it's very interesting. Stuff. Even wrestlers I've never heard of before. It's still fascinating to learn about that.
Well, even the fan that I am, they've had episodes of people I never heard of before either. Mostly going back to territory times. But I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. And by then I thought, oh my god, this most fascinating story. How have I never heard of him? It's amazing.
Okay, we'll swing back to that. I recently I've discovered, and I'm sure this has been around for a while, recap YouTube videos. So there's story recap, there's detective recap, there's basically what the premise of these videos is. They take a movie and they break down the movie in 10 to 20 minutes. I don't know. I've just been watching a lot of these on movies and stuff that I've never seen before. And some of them I've never heard before. But they're fascinating. There's that one, I can't even remember the name of the movie. It was a movie that came out a few years ago with Jake Gyllenhaal. I want to say like 10 years ago with Jake Gyllenhaal, where he's on a train that blows up, and then he like relives the day over and over again. I had never watched that movie before, but I remember like seeing a trailer for it or something, and I basically got the whole gist of the movie in like 20 minutes. It was awesome. So I've been watching a lot of those lately. And I just recently bought the collected Calvin and Hobbes. The entire, 10-year run of that comic book strip. And I'm going to be reading that. I haven't dove in yet, but that I'm going to be. Because a few years ago we did an episode, I want to say it was on Geek Fallout, where we talked about comic book strips that we liked. And the general consensus of everyone there was that Calvin and Hobbes was their favorite. Whereas, like, myself, I never, like, the reason why I never really got into Calvin and Hobbes originally was because where I live, We get two primary newspapers that come out of Edmonton, the Edmonton Journal and the Edmonton Sun. And my parents always bought the Edmonton Sun, and Calvin and Hobbes was in the Edmonton Journal. So for me, I grew up reading Garfield, because Garfield was like the top strip in the comic book page, or comic book strip page. So I never, but it's not to say I didn't like Calvin and Hobbes. Like, whenever, you know, the odd time I would come across an Edmonton Journal, you know, I would read Calvin and Hobbes. Because I think it was like my mom would occasionally buy the Journal on a Saturday, because like that was like when the obituaries for the week would come out, and if someone she knew died, she would buy that Saturday Edmonton Journal. So then I would get to read Calvin and Hobbes. But that was the general consensus I want to say there was like three or four of us, maybe even five of us on that episode. And everyone else, Calvin and Hobbes was their absolute favorite. So, I have a friend that I remember, he was really into Calvin and Hobbes like 20 years ago. And he had all the collected editions and stuff. And I remember, you know, being at his house flipping through them and reading them. So I'm looking forward to reading Calvin and Hobbes. And I just find, you know, it's such a fascinating story. Like, the creator, you know, like they've offered, you know, to, you know, people wanted to buy the rights to Calvin and Hobbes, but they, you know, they want to make more comics. They want to make a, you know, a movie and all this other stuff. And he still has the rights to them. And he's like, nope. You know, I did my 10-year run. You know, I ended it the way I wanted to end it. And he's like, I don't want anyone messing with it. And I totally appreciate that. Like, you know, nowadays, you know, you have a, you know, a property that becomes popular and you just sell the crap out of it. Like George R. R. Martin, you know, like, you know, when Game of Thrones, you know, became a public, you know, in the public consciousness, he became, you know, rich and famous overnight. I mean, he was always kind of famous in the literary community, but not, he wasn't a household name. Now people know who George R. R. Martin is, you know, like he's going out and doing speaking engagements, he's doing conventions, and he's not writing his books like he should be, which is really upsetting to his literary fans, you know, because they want an end to the Song of Ice and Fire. But, you know, kudos to George, you know, like, I mean, he, like he said, there was a video I saw where he was giving a lecture somewhere, and he was saying, like, I totally understand why these kids, you know, like Justin Bieber, when they become millionaires as teenagers, how, you know, like, they go crazy. He's like, I didn't become rich and famous till I was in my 60s, and I'm having a blast. So I can only imagine what I would have been like as a teenager if I was getting this much attention. But then, you know, then you got the creator of Calvin and Hobbes. He's like the opposite. He's like, no, I'm not selling it. You know, like he could, you know, potentially become, you know, a multi-billionaire, you know, like depending on how popular a Calvin and Hobbes movie would do. And, you know, if they did a TV series, blah, 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 you know, but he's like, no, you know, I did what I did and I'm happy with it. And, you know, that's that. So kudos to him. So I'm really looking forward to reading Calvin Hobbes. And last but not least, the latest show that I recently binged with my wife was Yellowstone. Now in the States, this is on the Paramount Network, I believe, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, is like a cable channel.
It's a new, well, yeah, the straight up Paramount Network is, I forget what channel took the place of. It's in the higher ups ones, like past 100 or 200.
Did it take over like TNN?
Maybe.
Or it became Spike Network?
Or, maybe, or Esquire or something. You know, I think you're right about Squike now, actually. I think that is the one that took it over, and I'm getting a couple of rebrands confused here. I think you're right, though.
Yeah, so this was a show that they made for that channel. And of course, I'm assuming it would be on, like, Paramount Plus. Like, in the States, it's Paramount Plus, right? Like, the streaming service? Okay. So up in Canada, it is on Amazon Prime. I mean, we do have, like, the Paramount Network is a thing up here, depending on which TV provider you go with. Like, I know my dad, like, he, through his TV provider, he gets the Paramount Network, but on mine, at my house, I don't. So I had never watched Yellowstone, and it wasn't available for streaming until, I think, this year. It you know, the first three seasons came to Amazon Prime, and I remember some of the guys at work were talking about it earlier this year, and, you know, saying it was really good. It wasn't until my sister and my mom were asking me about it, you know, have you seen it, you know, and I was gonna get to it, and then a couple weeks ago I decided to get to it. And it was one of those series that we just kept watching. And before you know it, it's like 1 a.m. And it's like, we got to go to bed. Like, we can't keep going. You know, as much as we want to, we got things to do tomorrow. And it's been a while since I've had a show that has grabbed me like that. And my wife, you know, because we're watching it together. So basically, the premise is it's this guy that owns a huge ranch in Montana, and it's his family and the trials and tribulations of basically owning, like, this, you know, ranching empire in Montana, and the people that are trying to tear it down. It's definitely got, like, a Dallas type of vibe to it, and I love Dallas. You know, the original series and the reboot that they did. Well, not reboot, relaunch, I guess, because it was a continuation of the original Dallas. I liked it a lot. So this definitely has the vibes of Dallas. And Kevin Costner is one of my favorite actors. I love Kevin Costner. You know, so it's a great show. And season three... season four comes out November 7th, and already, like, I just finished the season three finale, like, 2 days ago, and it's like, I keep looking at the calendars at November 7th, like, I gotta find out what happens, because their season three finale ends in a cliffhanger, and honest to God, it's up there with Who Shot JR, it's up there with Best of Both Worlds from Star Trek Next Generation. It was amazing. It was, like, jaw-dropping. So much happened in that finale. Yeah, I'm looking forward to season four. And apparently, according to my mom, they're doing a prequel series to Yellowstone that takes place in the 19th century. It's, like, it's basically the start of this seven generations. It's, like, the first generation. About them, you know, building Yellowstone Ranch. And Tim McGraw is going to be in it, and Faith Hill. And, what's his name there? Billy Bob Thornton's going to be in it, but also Sam...
Elliot,
yes. Yeah, Mr. Cowboy himself is going to be in it. So, yeah, it's a great show. I cannot recommend it enough. It's a lot of fun. And I live in Alberta, so, like, I live right above Montana, so it's fairly close to me. And not only that, but I live in a farming community. So we actually have ranches around here. Like, we have cowboys that live around here. Like, I literally live a 5-minute walk away from our local rodeo grounds. Like, 5 minutes from here, I can walk to rodeo grounds. And I enjoy rodeos. Like season three of Yellowstone, there was a lot of rodeo stuff, which I appreciate because I do like rodeos. You know, like in Barrhead where I live, they have a rodeo the second weekend in August. And then normally I think it would have been this weekend. We would have had our indoor rodeo at our local arena. But I don't think because of the COVID restrictions, they're not having it this year. I don't think they had it last year either. I'm usually working anyway, so I never get to see that one. But, Yellowstone really hit close to home for me. Even though I've only ever been to Montana once, but you know, I'd love to go back to Montana. But you watch that show, it looks a lot like where I live. It really does. Like, I don't live too far from the Rocky Mountains, so it definitely has that Alberta feel to it. But yeah, you know, the production is amazing. Actors are amazing. You know, great characters, great story. Sawyer from Lost, he was in this new season. He's going to be in season four, so I'm super excited to see what he gets up to, because he's, you know, basically the bad guy now. It's great to watch. Kevin, have you ever seen Yellowstone or heard of it?
No, and it comes through work all the time, so I know it's a popular one. I mean, I've heard of it. I just have never taken the time for it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, neither had I. But I'm glad I did, you know. And now I don't know what I'm going to watch next. I'm not sure what to binge. I know, like you're getting into Clone Wars. I know I got to watch the original, like the Dave Filoni Clone Wars, which is what you're moving into next. I did watch Rebels. Rebels was amazing. And then I've been watching The Bad Batch, which is also a great show. You know, they're all done by Dave Filoni. But aside from Clone Wars, I don't know what to binge next. I know there's a series on... Well, the Foundation series is coming to Apple Plus tomorrow, based on the Isaac Asimov novels. So I'm going to be watching that. You know, but aside from that, I don't know. Like, there's also a series on Apple Plus that I've been thinking about watching, and it's called C, S-E-E. Yeah,
with Momoa?
Yeah, with Jason Momoa, and Dave Bautista's in the second season, I believe. I don't think he's in the first one, but I could be wrong. That looks all right. You know, post-apocalyptic future, and... I mean, Jason Momoa and Dave Bautista, you know, those guys are great. So right there, I'm kind of thinking I'm going to be checking out that series for sure. But anyway, let's move into our Enders segment. So, Kevin, what do you have for Enders?
So you had said that you did not get to watch the most recent season, Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, yeah. Not yet. Yeah.
One of the new episodes that just aired was the infamous Plane Ride from Hell. So myself and my wrestling friends, we were texting about this. When I went to the comic shop, they were talking about it. It is an infamous trip. It was about 20 years ago, give or take. They interviewed people that were there, people that were with the company at the time, people that were wrestlers, people that were office. And then the internet got hold of it and didn't like some of the answers people gave. So some people woke up to announcements that they are going to be taken off of TV without pay from now on.
Hmm.
And have you ever heard of the Plane Ride from Hell beforehand?
No.
Okay.
But go ahead and tell me about it.
So some of the highlights is Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig starts playing pranks on Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay.
This was a private flight, private WWE flight. Starts playing pranks. Brock chases after him, catches up with him, and rams him right into the airplane door while they're mid-flight.
Oof.
Yeah. Dustin Rhodes Goldust gets good and drunk and decides to serenade his now ex-wife, Marlena, Terry Runnels.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Hall was so passed out and overdosed on drugs, they thought he was dead. We're trying to figure out what to do when they landed with the dead body.
And this is all the same flight?
This is all the same flight.
Holy crap.
It was international. It was like London to New York or what, you know, something crazy like that. Ric Flair decides to get good and drunk and whip out his junk and kind of corner one of the stewardesses in the galley, showing himself off and everything. What was the other guy? I'm missing one just crazy one, and I can't remember. All the same flight. So everyone's talking about it and doing their interviews and seeing stuff like, oh, that's just how it was. And that's what got me, is that, like, there's all these stories, and I know I'm forgetting one, too. It's driving me insane right now. Because I'll remember later when it does. Oh, they cut off Michael Hayes' hair because he was passed out on something.
Yeah.
So they snuck up on him, cut his hair. And I know I'm missing a good one. But they're interviewing different wrestlers and everything, and it's just like, well, that's how it was back then. Like, this story has disgusted and upset wrestling fans for near 20 years of, you know, you can't believe your idols are so childish and disgusting and would do such things. And these wrestlers being interviewed are like, it was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which means they have seen much worse, which means this is the story we know about, but worse has been done. And yep. And I kind of think that's any celebrity. This is why I mentioned it at Comic Shop. I'm like, you get any celebrity, a musician, an athlete, wrestler, whatever, they're used to a bit, you know, to the spotlight and also to the freedom that allows, too, to be able to just get away with a lot of stuff. Here's money. Shut up. Go away.
Yep.
You know, make the problem better. And the wrestler's just like, it happened. Same thing happened next flight. Same, you know, same wrestler, different girl. Or, oh, I did that once. Like, I don't know what exactly their attitude is. But they're talking about this stuff like we would talk about going to the grocery store. Like, it's just a normal, everyday occurrence. But they're talking about debaucherous, dangerous parties. And it's like, all right, so clearly more has happened here. Tommy Dreamer is one of the main ones that people didn't like his comments. He's suspended from Impact Wrestling, where he's currently wrestling. Ric Flair in the States, I don't know if it's made its way to Canada, but he has a series of like some auto insurance commercials or whatever hell they are. I don't even know. He just comes out and you feel sad because clearly he needs more money to be doing this. But they pulled that whole, car thing, car rate, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But they pulled that entire line of commercials too. So he's not getting any of that residual money every time it airs anymore.
Hmm. I'm going to have to watch that episode.
Yep. And a new one, as we recorded, a new one debuted on Chris Canyon, who was a very good wrestler in WCW mid to late 90s, who was also very much closeted gay at the time, too.
Okay.
So it kind of comes forward for his story. He was good. He was so good. He, when WCW were ripping off the Mortal Kombat gimmicks and started out with a guy named Glacier, this guy Canyon came out as Mortis. It was like a green and black Mortal Kombat type costume.
Okay.
And then as Canyon later on, he teamed up with Diamond Dallas Page for a while. He teamed up with Raven for a little while. Like he was just innovative and cool and fun and everything. So it's an interesting take of, did he not get his chance because he didn't have a good character? Or did he not get his chance because, oh, he's gay and we're not going to, you know, put that out front. So let's just bury him.
Hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that one, too. And then the rest of the series is going to be crazy. When we do another episode in the near future, we'll see how much you've watched. But there's some of these I'm like, I don't know how you're going to talk about this without having to add, like, extra disclaimers of adults only for this episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I'm planning a wrestling episode for November. So hopefully by then I will have watched got caught up on Dark Side of the Ring, and yeah, we can talk about that. Because my plan is early November to do an episode where we talk about our top five professional wrestlers of all time.
Ooh.
So our top five with honorable mentions as well. So that is coming early November, if everything
Like
goes
that
according to
idea.
plan. And then yeah, we'll talk about Dark Side of the Ring for sure. All right, for me, for Enders, I just wanted to go over some of the Emmy wins. Because we had the Emmys last weekend at the time of this recording, 2021, 73rd Primetime Emmy Awards. I was super stoked because this year, for example, The Mandalorian was up for best drama, I believe. Outstanding drama series. It didn't win, unfortunately, but the fact that it was up there. And I believe WandaVision was up for limited or
He's up for a
anthology.
lot. Yeah.
What's his name? Paul Bettany was up for best actor and Elizabeth Olsen best actress. But the
And Catherine Hahn for supporting.
yes, yep. Yeah. And but I mean, even and The Boys, I think, were up for an Emmy as well. So I've never watched Ted Lasso, but I do like that actor, Sudeikis there. So it won best comedy. The Crown, I love The Crown. I can't say enough great things about The Crown. It won for best drama series. It's a Netflix series about Queen Elizabeth and her family. And this last season was just amazing. It just seems to get better with each season. But this season was, I think, I was a little bit more in tuned with it because they were touching on the years that I was actually alive. Because this was, Princess Di and Charles getting married and then, them fighting and all that kind of stuff. So, Kate Winslet won for lead actress in a limited or anthology series. She's a great actress. I love her. Josh O'Connor, lead actor, drama series, The Crown. He's the guy that played Prince Charles. Well deserved. He was fantastic. Olivia Colman, lead actress, drama series, The Crown. Again, she was Queen Elizabeth. Amazing. Jason Sudeikis, like I said, he won for Ted Lasso, best lead actor, best comedy, or for comedy series, lead actor. Tobias Menzies, supporting actor, drama series, The Crown. He was Prince Philip for the last couple seasons. He is also he was on Game of Thrones. He was what's crap. He was the Lord of the Riverlands. He was Catelyn's brother. Oh, what's his name? I can't remember. But
Not sure.
anyway, he was on Game of Thrones. Great actor. Evan Peters, supporting actor, limited or anthology series. But I believe it was for American Horror Story. It wasn't for WandaVision. Because as you remember, he was the one that showed up and he was Pietro. The fake Pietro. And The Queen's Gambit won limited or anthology series, best limited or anthology series. That's a great miniseries. I highly recommend it. Another Netflix series. Ewan McGregor won for lead actor in a limited or anthology series. Jean Smart, lead actress comedy series. She was it was for this comedy series Hacks, but I guess it would be 2 years ago now. Like she was in the Watchmen show. She was fantastic. Gillian Anderson, best known as Agent Dana Scully from the X-Files, won Best Supporting Actress drama series, The Crown. Yeah, she was fantastic because she played Margaret Thatcher in this season. And I'm a huge X-Files fan. Back in the 90s, I had a huge crush on Gillian Anderson. But when she was cast as Margaret Thatcher, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think I'm just gonna see Agent Scully. But then you watch like 1 minute into her performance, and I thought I was watching Margaret Thatcher. Like, I didn't, like, Agent Scully did not even come to my mind. Like, she just became that person, and did such an amazing job. Like, she, like, that was a well deserved Emmy. That was probably my favorite Emmy win of the night because she was so great, in that series. Like, and it sucks because she's not going to be in the next season, because Margaret Thatcher, you know, spoilers, she gets kicked out as Prime Minister. And, yeah. She just did such a fantastic job. You know, maybe she might come back for an episode or two. You know, maybe they might be able to bring her into it. Because, like, they did that for John Lithgow. Because John Lithgow was in the first two seasons of The Crown. And they brought him back in season three, but because he was Winston, he played Winston Churchill, and again, kind of like Gillian Anderson, like he did such an amazing job. Like I'm a Lithgow fan, one of my favorite actors. I was like, how is he going to pull off Churchill? And he did. You don't really think of him as John Lithgow when you're watching him, just like Gillian Anderson. Like they like this series. You know, kudos to the actors, but also the show itself does such a good job of transforming these actors into these real life characters, that you forget, you know, you're watching someone you know from something else. You know, like they do such an amazing job. But anyway, this year's Emmys, like it was unfortunate WandaVision didn't win, Mandalorian didn't win, but a lot of good stuff won. A lot of my, you know, like I said, I'm a huge fan of The Crown. I love The Queen's Gambit. They won a lot of Emmys this year. So I was pretty happy about that. But I was really, fingers crossed, I was really hoping that WandaVision would have won, you know. And aside from me really liking WandaVision, you know, just to have a comic book TV show, you know, a Marvel comic book TV show, you know, do so good. I was really hoping they would catch a win in one of the bigger categories. But, you know, the fact that they were nominated still speaks volumes to how far they've come with comic book movies.
I agree.
Yeah. And, well, I shouldn't say comic book movies, comic book TV shows, because the Emmys aren't movies. This is TV. And Marvel's, you know, like, I mean, there's a few things, you know, I wish they could have done better, but for the most part, Marvel TV shows, I think, have raised the bar in regards to, you know, what I want to see in a comic book TV show. But anyway, I think we could call this an episode. But before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. So, Kevin, where can I find you, sir?
All right, you can find me across most social medias at Mask Library. MaskLibrary.com is the home blog. And getting on a good schedule here again, once a week on Thursday mornings is my one-on-one talk show podcast, Hellions Talks, over on the Retro Network. So the past couple weeks was a build-up to RetroCon, but there's also a indie wrestling promotion nearby me, pretty much next town over. And so before a local show, I'll be interviewing some talent to just hype up the shows and hear all about it. Yep, first one was a blast. So I can't wait to keep going on this and make new podcasting friendships along the way.
Awesome. That's good to hear. All right, well, for myself, you can catch me here doing these podcasts on the Pop Culture Pub Network. We have an episode of Trek 1701 coming in a couple weeks where we will be talking about the latter half of season 2 of Star Trek Enterprise. And for the next planned episode of the Pop Culture Pub podcast, we are going to be talking about our top 5 best and top 5 worst TV series finales. So our top 5 best and top 5 worst TV series finales. And I just want to throw this out for Ragnar. At the time of this recording, this weekend coming up, He will be in Prince George, British Columbia, for Northern Fan Con. So if you're in the Prince George, British Columbia area, go check out Northern Fan Con, and you will find our co-host, Ragnar the Trader, there selling his stuff. I believe this is, according to Ragnar, this is looking like this could be his last big show of the year. Because, you know, aside from, you know, that time of year, like this is usually, you know, October, November is when convention season kind of comes to an end. But as I mentioned at the top of the episode, in Western Canada, well, I think all of Canada, actually, you know, we're in this fourth wave of the COVID pandemic, and restrictions seem to be changing, and not for the better. So, so if you want to check out Ragnar, he's in Prince George this weekend at Northern Fan Con. All right. On behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and my co-host, Kevin Decent, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub podcast. This was our blank day episode, and we will see you again in the not too distant future.